Turning to Ephesians chapter 4 is our text today, and building from that, there's a story from ancient Greece. You remember the city of Sparta, and the king of Sparta was entertaining a visiting monarch. And as he was showing this visiting monarch the glories of Sparta, he kept boasting about the mighty walls of Sparta. And the guest looked around, and he couldn't see any walls. He was puzzled by it. Finally said to the king of Sparta, "I'd like to see those walls. Will you please show them to me?" And with great satisfaction of stirring this question, the Spartan ruler pointed to some of the soldiers, these disciplined and well-trained soldiers, part of Sparta's renowned army. And he says, "There they are. They are the walls of Sparta." Well, thinking of that analogy, now in your imagination, just shift big time to imagining a dialogue between God and Satan in the kind of scene that's described in the book of Job. But this time, Satan is scoffing at God's kingdom on earth. He's heard such great things about it. And he says, "Show me what this magnificent kingdom development is like." And God responds to Satan and says, "Here, I'll show you my divine, eternal wisdom." But that's in Ephesians 3:10 from last week. And so with great joy, the Heavenly Father points to the church on earth. But he's not pointing to buildings. Cathedrals get ignored in this conversation. And the Heavenly Father is pointing to you, believers in Jesus Christ who now make up the body of Christ. And God says, "There. There's my kingdom. There's my church." Ah, that calls us to a kind of understanding of our relationship with the Heavenly Father. On our part, we're striving to be what God wants us to be as His kingdom. We're responsible within that kingdom to reach our own generation in our day. Based on biblical principles, we are called to reevaluate how we unite with one another for worship and unite with one another for service for God. And in other words, being the kingdom of God on earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, in a sense, calls us to this kind of review, to a kind of renewal. And that little verse says a very powerful thing. It says, "Test everything, hold on to the good." Test everything. Hold on to the good. And as we look at who we are in relationship to the community of Markham, in Greater Toronto Area, Canada, the world, we come to times of review, of retesting, of holding on to the good and moving forward. Last Sunday, we started into this topic of future church. Wanted to take last Sunday and this Sunday for it. Last Sunday, we saw how every generation needs to restudy and rephrase the great eternal truths of the Scripture so that we live it in the culture of today. That we're not coming from the culture of the 1950s trying to interact with the culture of 2009. So as part of that generational update, last week we talked about the concept of being a missional church. A missional church. Not only a church that supports missions, but a church that is on mission, that we see ourselves in Markham as being called of God as missionaries to reach our community. So here, as we reflect on that, here is the Bible base for this kind of trying to rephrase, trying to take a fresh approach to how we see ourselves in relationship to our world. Our Heavenly Father is a missionary God. He'd sent His Son on a mission. And because the Father and Son are one, it is God's mission that He sent Jesus on. And when we think about the mission of Jesus, He identified it. Do you remember what Jesus said was His mission? What He came to do? He came to seek and to save the lost. All He did, all He said, built towards the accomplishment of that mission. He didn't act as panicked. He started with a clear focus. He worked within that focus as he went to the cross as part of his fulfillment of his mission. He could take a step that you and I can't, but we get the benefits of that, and we are able to carry the impact and the results of his mission going all the way to the cross right into our communities, as that is the means by which we share eternal salvation. But crucial to God's mission, dear friends, was that it was never planned as a solo effort by Jesus alone. His plan, his wisdom, is that those who are blessed by this saving action receive at the same time his mission to also seek and to save the lost. In John chapter 20, we have the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in his first resurrection appearance to his disciples, you remember they were huddled in a locked room, fearful, afraid of the outcomes of the ripple effect of Jesus being crucified on the cross. Jesus appeared in their midst. And after the initial shock of the resurrected Jesus suddenly appearing in their midst in this locked room, Jesus moved right to the focus of his mission. You know, you think, what words would the resurrected Jesus share with his disciples as suddenly he was there and he was alive after they had seen him die on the cross? He talked about the mission, his and theirs. And he said to them, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Do you see the mission focus? And do you see that being put into the lives of the followers of Jesus Christ, into our lives? Christ's intent is that every disciple is commissioned by him to be on mission in everyday living, to be missional as a lifestyle, to seek and to save the lost wherever that takes us, whether in Markham or in the Sudan in Africa. So when missional believers gather for worship, we need to be a missional church to teach and encourage missional living for all the days in between Sundays. That was in the text that was read for us this morning. That the church, the leaders are there to prepare, to equip, to train, and to develop the believers. Now here's a very helpful definition of a missional church. This comes from Bible teacher and pastor Milford Manitria, whose book that's titled Shaped by God's Heart is the source that I'm drawing from for these two Sundays of looking at the future church. And here's what he writes. A missional church is a reproducing community of believers being equipped as missionaries sent by God to live and proclaim his kingdom in their world. There's a lot packed into that. Let me reread it. A missional church is a reproducing community of authentic disciples being equipped as missionaries sent by God to live and proclaim his kingdom in their world. We're all missionaries, and we're called to Christ's mission. Last week, I talked about four dimensions of missional churches. And today, I'm going to take those four dimensions and develop them by adding what Minitria calls two passion actions to each one. So as we go through these today, I'm counting on you to gauge your own level. You have some level of maturity in walking with Jesus Christ. You have exposure to church life over many years. You know the Bible stories. Well, as we look at this then, gauge where you're at. Gauge the parts where you need to take some next steps in your own life, so that you fit the reproducing part of the definition. And then at another level, also think through as we go through this morning, where our church, Markham Missionary Church, needs to step up to some greater involvements in some of these areas and some of the steps that we can take. And I pray that it'll stir some dialogue. This is taking old eternal truth. Nothing new. We're just trying to refresh the language. Refresh our view of it so that we come fresh into being responsible for our generation and their response to God. So the first of the four dimensions was love God. Love God. What's the basis for anyone to love God? Why would we love God? The Bible gives the answer to that. It's because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. In fact, 1 John 3, 1 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. It's not just a smear of icing on the cake that God has given in his love for us. He has lavished. He's heaped up the whipped cream on top of the icing on the cake. He has poured out his love for us. It's abundant. It's full. It's overflowing as we come to understand it. Psalm 136 repeats over and over. You'll remember this as I say it. It repeats over and over the phrase, his love endures forever. And just statement after statement of the blessing and the grace of God that comes in that psalm. And after every phrase, his love endures forever. Included in this is the great commandment. You remember that. The great commandment that calls us to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. And so God has poured out his love on us. We're called to respond to him with love, with all of who we are. Where do we go with that love? What's the expression and outlet for it? Well, this statement, love God, leads us forward to two passion actions in response to it. The first of which is worship. As objects of his love, as the recipients of his love, missional Christians express their responding love for God through worship. It's the appropriate response to relationship with Almighty God. When I think back to when my wife and I were getting acquainted, our fledgling relationship before we were married, I remember just being amazed as I discovered that she really loved me. And then, in fact, it was quite a strong love. I was blown away by it. It was too good to be true in my world, in my view. And I couldn't help but respond to her with adoration. Probably overdid it at the time, right? But I adore her, and I adored her then. I couldn't stop thinking of ways to please her. In fact, some of my seminary classes kind of suffered a little bit because of this obsession. It's one way to describe it, but it was adoration, almost worship, if you dare talk about that in that kind of relationship. God loves us so much that as we study it, as we learn more about it, it's too good to be true, friends. It's so amazing in the love that he has lavished on us. And so what's our response? Adoration. Exalting him because of who he is and because of how he has poured his love out on us. So, worship of God is not just Sundays, friends. It's every day. It's a dynamic and constantly developing relationship with the Heavenly Father. It becomes a stream of praise and prayer continuously in our lives throughout the week. The second passion action in response to loving God is to obey. Now here, friends, we come to the authentic part of the definition of a missional disciple. Sometimes we've probably all encountered people that are great churchgoers, passionate in their worship, but then their lifestyle doesn't follow up with that. Some cracks are in existence in how they follow through on that. And obedience is part of the response to loving God, part of the package in loving God. Obedience is a logical response to God's love. I wonder if you've ever responded to someone you love and someone who's done you a big favor, perhaps, by saying, your wish is my command. What a dangerous thing to say. Except when it is the authentic disciple responding to God Most High and his lavish love. Because obedience involves surrender, involves trust. Because we know who the Heavenly Father is, because he's revealed himself as loving and true and righteous, we can respond with, in fact, that phrase and that thought, your wish is my command. That's obedience, friends, as we grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ and learn His wishes. And that's how we bring the Christian life from the ancient truth into contemporary life, because we've gotten to know Jesus. We study His character. We study His actions. We soak ourselves in that so that we can understand the mind of Christ. And if we understand the mind of Christ, then we're living the reality that, Lord, Your wish is my command. Remember the Old Testament story of King Saul? When in one war initiative, God had commanded him to destroy everything that belonged to the enemy. But what did Saul do? He didn't obey. He kept back some of the animals. And when the prophet Samuel arrived on the scene and challenged him about it, he tried to claim that his motive was that he kept these animals alive so that he could sacrifice them to God. What was God's response through the prophet Samuel? A really concise statement that if you haven't got this part yet in your way of life with the Lord Jesus Christ, write it out over and over and stick it on your visor in your car or whatever. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Powerful statement. That's what it takes to be an authentic missional disciple impacting our communities. To obey is better than sacrifice. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 is a great verse to help us to live missionally. It says, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. You hear that? We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. Jesus said it very simply. He says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Come to the place where His wish is our command. Well, the second missional dimension is live His mission. Live His mission. It's particularly here that we talk about being shaped by the heart of God. God has stated His mission. We've been called to it. Living His mission leads us forward then to two more passion actions. The first one is serve. Serve. Have you been struck by the fact that Jesus turned the concept of greatness upside down? But there's evidence all around us that this is truly a stumbling block for disciples of Jesus. And many people on their journey trip over this and miss out on being authentic disciples because of it. See, for us to be truly missional, to truly make an impact, this has to be kept as strong as, say, witnessing or as worshiping. Hear the words from the lips of Jesus in Matthew 20. He said these words, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Jesus walked the talk on this. Here's God incarnate, exalted in the heavens, declaring that He didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom. And then He took the towel and basin and washed the disciples' feet, the task of the lowest of the slaves of that day. He included the feet of Judas, who would betray Him before the night was over. As missional Christians, we will discover true needs in our communities, and we'll move to meet them as servants. Serving in the name of Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Greatness in the missional church is not measured by how many people you oversee. Greatness is measured by the number of people that you serve. Now, the second passion action under Live His Mission is share. Missional Christians are compelled to share the message of hope to which they have responded and experienced the blessing. They have experienced that people are designed for relationship with God. They've experienced the famous words from St. Augustine, our souls find no rest until they find their rest in Thee. So as a missional community, we seek to live authentic lives, lives that validate the promise of God, that lives are transformed in Christ, that there's a before and after in terms of relating to the Lord Jesus Christ. We live the grace of God, and we share the availability of that grace as clearly and creatively as possible. God calls us in this mission to be the presence of God into the other's lives. He calls us to be salty so that we enhance the thirst that the others have for the true God, and we're created with that thirst in our lives. The third dimension is to love people. This is the flip side of the great commandment, isn't it? Jesus said there's two parts to it. They're of equal weight and equal value. We can't love God completely if we don't love people. Now, loving people leads us forward to the next two passion actions. First of all, we have the action of embrace. To embrace is to extend arms of acceptance and compassion. It's the image of Christ in Matthew 11 when he says these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But his love is unconditional. His love is indiscriminate. His embrace is to whosoever will. I wonder how your posture is as a disciple. We want people to come. We desire people to come. But honestly, evangelical Christians don't have a great record on this question. We say the words, but so often we have our arms crossed and we're kind of giving the message that you need to be like us before you join us. That wasn't Jesus at all. He opened his arms wide. His love was indiscriminate. He poured out his love and he truly welcomed people to himself. And obviously he radiated it because people would go to him when they were rejected by all the rest of society. Lepers who were not supposed to approach anybody somehow understood that they could approach Jesus. Jesus went to people of ill repute. He welcomed sinners and he had a reputation for doing it. And the sinners loved it and they loved him. Somehow his body language, his posture, his words full of grace and truth meant to people that they felt they could approach him and have ready access to him. As a church, our mission statement says we will embrace all people in Jesus' name. Do you remember what it is? Celebrating God's love and good news by embracing all people in Jesus' name. We've got it there. Are we living the words? Do we truly embrace people, all people? It happens, you know, we train ourselves and condition ourselves when we send a mission team to another country. It's part of our training. Expect the unexpected. We're show friendliness to everybody. We're there representing Jesus Christ. And we school ourselves in that over and over. And somehow, quite frankly, it's easier when we go to another country than in our own community. Because we get all caught up in the rhetoric of those who have and those who haven't, and those we share with and those we don't, and we draw cultural distinctions about where our arms are extended. Oh God, help us to be authentic disciples that will embrace truly in the name of Jesus Christ. I know of churches that have initiated special embracing projects to show Christ's love to their home community. They would have called it something like Love Markham. And I wonder what that would look like here in our own community. Would it mean taking a section of highway and picking up the garbage there, or keeping that section of highway clear in Markham? Would it mean finding families that are struggling to find housing and help them with that and join in a project to help that on a long-term basis? Would it be making sure that when there's a Terry Fox run that we're there handing out water bottles? We're not planning to do that I know of, but could it be something like that? Maybe it would be something, because all of these runs seem to take place on Sunday morning. Maybe we need to send missionaries out from here rather than be here in the sanctuary and interacting with people and showing the love of God, hugging Markham. I believe God will speak to somebody in our congregation about some projects like that, and I pray that as leadership we will be ready to hear that. Take a look at it. Something that we've never done before. Wouldn't that be exciting? And we could move forward with something that shows our embrace. The second passion action under love people is invite. As we serve, as we share, as we embrace, God the Holy Spirit will be stirring hearts, and there will be those who wish to become part of His body, part of the church. How sad if we would miss extending an invitation. In being missional Christians, we need to be that presence of Christ to make real Christ's words, come, follow me. We have to stop and realize that I've grown up in the church. I can't remember when I first went to church. I was that young. That's not the case for everybody, but it is for many here. And we really have to retool ourselves and reschool ourselves to understand that it is mysterious to people outside the church world when we say, well, be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so to actually invite people to Christ, we need to create multiple entry points into the life of Christ, into the life of the church. We need to provide various opportunities for people to journey with us, even well before they grasp what it means to be His disciple, to give them a safe place to ask the difficult questions of faith in God. I think we need to see more open doors like morning break, like our small groups, beyond the church services themselves. And I think we are multiplying some of those. But we need to keep on doing that. The fourth dimension is to lead them to follow. Our commission from Jesus as missional churches goes beyond bringing people to the place of belief and repentance. That's so foundational. But what does the Great Commission go on to say? It says, in your going, make disciples, baptize them, and then what in that Great Commission? It says, teach them. To what extent does Jesus say, teach a new disciple? He says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded. So lead them to follow leads us forward to our final two passion actions. The first is equip. This is the New Testament expression for the process of developing mature disciples. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 that we had read this morning, we see that the church leadership is responsible to equip, to prepare God's people for the work of serving Christ and serving people. One of the primary functions of the church after worship is to be a training center to develop missional churches. This parenting class is just absolutely a key example of that kind of equipping that we can do that extends out beyond what takes place when we're a gathered community. Parenting. I trust that someday we'll have parenting classes that reach out beyond the church, because that's an issue for every family. We need all of you to actively give feedback of areas you bump into where you need more tools, where you need some training to be missional. And training can take place in the joy group for the seniors. It can take place in the youth group. It could be a Sunday evening or a Sunday school as the class that is starting. Well, the second passion action here is empower. Ability without opportunity frustrates. And churches too long have had class after class after Bible study with nowhere to put the studies into action. Yet there are multitudes all around us who don't know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. So the more we move into being a missional church, the more we will provide the means, the programs, the activities to get people engaged in active mission. We don't have to go to Mexico to find mission. It's in your workplace, it's in your school, it's in our community. The church can do some of that as a gathered group, but we need everyone responding to that. So we're going to have an opportunity for you to exercise your missional muscles in a little while. We have an opportunity to give a gift of a New Testament out to a good large segment of our community close by here. And so we're planning a very classy, special gift of a New Testament along with an invitation to our cantata, to the Christmas musical and to the Christmas services that we have here right on Christmas Eve and the Sundays close to that. So it's going to be a distribution. You can do it on the level of just going and hanging it on a doorknob. Some of you, you're at the place where you'll go beyond that, knock on the door and offer a personal invitation. Some of you will go beyond that and see if you can engage them in conversation about church, because they'll be curious and say where you're from. And you'll say, well, that the only church on the north side of Major Mackenzie, and say, well, I've never noticed a church there. But you have the opportunity to be that missionary that carries the love of Christ and a greeting right to their doorstep and into some conversation with them. Well, you see that the circle is complete on the PowerPoint. But it isn't stopped. This is a reproductive cycle. And I believe this is the wisdom of God. That this cycle repeats over and over with hopefully increasing momentum. Have you identified yourself this morning on the circle, on the cycle? Have you sensed a level of engagement where you need to step up to more of a missional focus in your life? I pray, I do. It was my goal that you would have seen some areas where our church life can be strengthened to a greater missional reality. And that out of that, as you see it, you will also offer yourself dialogue with some of the leaders. Find ways to move this part of the wisdom of God in Markham Missionary Church forward to the glory of God and to the goals that Jesus Christ has for us. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you loved us and you showed us what the love of Jesus, the love of God, means into our lives. And now, Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll stir our thinking. I pray that in the note sheets that have been filled out today, I pray that in the memories of people, there will be some discussion and some dialogue. And grant, Lord Jesus, that both on a personal level, there will be a commitment to be moved forward in this cycle. We may have to go back and pick up an area that is where we're ahead in some areas on the cycle and need to go back and get some areas earlier on the cycle. But Lord, may it cause us to reflect. May it cause us to listen for the voice of Jesus, to cause us to step forward, to step up, and to live that missional life wherever you have placed us, that we might live for your glory and there might be people come to knowledge of Jesus Christ and then come to a place of personal commitment to Jesus, of forgiveness of sins, and walking in new relationship with the Heavenly Father. Thank you for the great grace that is poured out. Thank you that you lavished your love on us. May we share that love with those all around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.